Take our Bibles together, please, to the book of 1 Peter again, 1 Peter chapter 3. One more message on the conscience, and tonight it's how to have a good conscience. What instruction can I receive from the Bible to help me have a good conscience, to avoid those pitfalls we looked at this morning? The Bible says in verse 16 of chapter 3, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. In verse 21 again, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I pray you would help us tonight to develop a good conscience, that Christ may have his perfect way in us and that we would be more conformed unto his image. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you teach us and help us with tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to say, first of all, that it is possible for you to have a good conscience or it wouldn't be in the Bible. In Acts chapter 23... the Apostle Paul made a great statement in verse 1 where he said, and I'll read it for you, Acts 23:1, the Bible says, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. What a thing to say. That from my whole life to this day, I've lived in a good conscience. You know, that's, to have a good conscience, you have to live in that conscience. I have lived in all good conscience. It's one thing for you to have a conscience that reminds you of what is right or what is wrong. It's another thing for it to affect the way you live. So the first thing I would say to have a good conscience is, if your conscience is, as we're going to see in a moment, bearing witness in the Spirit of God, then you need to live by how your conscience is dealing with you in your life. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. And that's the where God is trying to get us in the Christian life. The end of the things that God commands us in the Scriptures end in us living a life with a good conscience. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, now the end of the commandment. That's the end of what God's tried to tell you. What's the end game? What is the purpose for these things being told to us about the commands of the Lord? The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That's where God wants us to end up at. That is what the commandments of the Lord is trying to get us to, a place in our Christian life where we have real charity, which is really the evidence of the life and heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that charity will come out of a pure heart, not a dirty heart. And that the life that we live will be lived in a good conscience and with faith unfeigned, not hypocritical, not two-faced, but a real Christianity with a pure conscience in our life. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says in verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve with my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. A good conscience causes your life to be lived in a pure fashion. A good conscience yields a pure conscience that yields a pure life. So you can always tell if someone's conscience is broken if their life is dirty. And if it continues to be dirty, then their conscience is not pure. It's not good enough to work in their life to show them the error of their ways so they will repent of it and change the dirt that's going on. Hebrews 13:18 talks about a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. If you've got a good conscience, you're willing to live. Listen, you're willing to live the life that God wants you to live. That's living with a healthy conscience. How do I have a good conscience? Be willing to live the life God wants you to live. So many people aren't willing to do that. They want to live their own life. They want to do their own thing. And the end of that road is a broken conscience and a broken life and a dirty life. And Paul said, I have lived to this day with a good conscience, and it's been a pure conscience in my life, and it's yielding a pure life in me. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. How do I have a good conscience? Well, you got to live it. You got to, like these young people were saying tonight, one of them said, we don't want to just make the decision. We want it to carry out in our life. In other words, we need to act on what God has worked in my conscience about. We need to act on that and live that life out. Amen. Do something about it. It's more than a trip to an altar, and praise God, that's a big part of it. But it's in our lives. We putting into practice what God has dealt with our conscience about. How do I have a good conscience? 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says in verse 19. Look at this. He's talking to Timothy. He says, holding faith and a what? Now look at me. If you're going to have a good conscience, you're going to have to hold on to it. I mean, you're going to have to hold on to it for dear life. The Bible says we need to hold on to faith. Don't ever let anything bring a doubt in your mind about the ability and power of our God. Have faith in God. Hold on to that, no matter what everybody else does. But at the same time, you've got to hold on to your good conscience. Because look at it. Because the Bible says in the rest of that verse, in verse 19, he says, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made what? Shipwreck. If you don't hold on to your good conscience, what will happen in your life? Your life will become a shipwreck. Ships that are wrecked don't sail. They're not seaworthy. They can't hold up. They can't float. They can't get anywhere. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of wrecks in life. And it doesn't have to be that way. Anytime you find somebody whose life is wrecked, I guarantee you, they quit holding on to a good conscience. They let go of it. They put it away. They knew what was right. They had been taught what was right. People had preached them what was right. They had even repented of things they had done. But at some point in their life, they got tired of holding on. Come here, Lydia. Put that down. They got tired of holding on. You know, I said our kids are worth fighting for, right? You know, sometimes what you got to do with your kids, you got to hold on to them. Every now and then, and it's even happened, I think, with this one, she didn't want to be held. she didn't want to be held. She wanted to be left alone. Didn't want something to be confronted. You know what have I had to do sometimes? Sometimes I've just had to hold on. Sometimes you just got to hold on. You know what the truth is about your conscience? Something is trying to pull your good conscience out of you. The media of this world, the friends that the devil has placed in your life are trying to pull out your good conscience. To try to let go of those things that you know and have been taught by the Lord and the church and the Spirit of God that this is not right and this is right. And the devil's trying to get you to let go of that. And the Bible says if you're going to have a good conscience, you've got to hold on to it. It'll slip from your grasp. The sensitivity, like we sang this morning after the service, a sensitivity of sin. If you don't hold on to that, it'll slip away. Thank God our salvation doesn't slip away. But your good conscience will slip out of your hand if you don't hold on to it. And just like these young people are worth fighting for, your good conscience is worth fighting for. It's worth holding on to. You can afford to lose your job, your house, your car, your health. Don't lose your good conscience. Hold on to it. If you've got a good conscience tonight, those thoughts that run through your mind and those imaginations that try to get you to plan a different way and a different path, you better put that aside and you better hold on to that good conscience. It's more valuable than your health. And some people didn't want to hold on to it. And what happened to them? They made shipwreck of their life. And all of a sudden, the things that used to be wrong weren't wrong anymore. Get Acts 24 and look back at our text in 1 Peter 3. How do I have a good conscience? Well, when God deals with me through my conscience, I need to live it. And secondly, I got to hold on to it. But thirdly, get Acts chapter 24. And we quoted the little phrase. It's just a small little phrase, but it's so important. 1 Peter 3:21, as you're turning to Acts 24:16. 1 Peter 3:21, our text said, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. What do I have to do to have a good conscience? You need to continue to give back an answer to God. You need to answer God. When I call one of my children, I want them to answer me. Right? Now, if they're not answering me, what does that mean? Yeah, they're in trouble, but it means, a lot of times it means they're not interested. Or they've got something sticking in their ears. Right? They're preoccupied with something else. If you want to have a good conscience, you better be attentive to answer God when He talks to you. And if you're not in the habit of answering God when He talks to you through your conscience, you will not keep a good conscience. Matter of fact, he'll quit dealing with you the way He always dealt with you. You know why God worked in a lot of these teenagers' lives this past week? Because when God spoke to them, they answered. They responded. Anybody can sit through a service. Anybody can hear a good message. It's another thing for you to give an answer. It's another thing for you to respond back to the one that's talking to you. It's another thing for you to respond to the Spirit of God that is reproving you and speaking to your heart and say, through your conscience, a good, yes, yes, I'm listening. Yes, I agree. How do I have a good conscience? Answer God. Respond to God. Because when you fail to respond to God, you will start losing your good conscience. You'll see no need to do that. Now look, I'm not under any superstition that just because the altar gets filled that people's lives get changed. I understand people can make a trip to the altar and go back and nothing can happen. I understand that. But I tell you what, it is really healthy to respond when God speaks to you and give Him some kind of an answer back. And thank God we have a church that does that. These altars were full before we even sung a stanza this morning. And the Spirit of God was working around in here and talking to people. And you know what? There was a response. There was an answer. Yes, I heard you. Instead of going about my daily business and listening to my things and ignoring the things of God. If you want to have a good conscience, you've got to answer God when He speaks to you. When He deals with you in your conscience, you have got to respond. Somebody said, well, you know, that altar call, that was a man-made thing. You can call it what you want to, but I tell you what, I have watched Christians for over 30 years in the full-time ministry, and I can tell you right now, the Christians that I've seen made a shipwreck, almost bar none, are people that would never respond to God, would never bow the knee, would never cry a tear, would never move. Never move. That was for somebody else, but it wasn't for me. Well, when is it for you? When did it apply to you? And when it does, when did you answer God? Yes, that was for me. Yes, I want to respond. Yes, God, you're right. Acts 24, look at what the Apostle Paul said. You want a good conscience? Here's the recipe. Acts 24, verse 16. And herein, look at it now. And herein do I, here's a dirty word in the Bible. Amen. Herein do I what? Don't you hate that word? Everybody but Ray Pettit hates that word. I hate working with Ray. Amen. He puts me under conviction in my conscience. He exercises. Something's wrong with somebody who likes to exercise, right? Not normal. Not natural. It's hard. Who wants to do that? And a lot of people that do that, they're not doing that because they like to exercise. They want to look good so somebody brag on them. I'm not talking about our Brother Ray. Brother Ray wants to fight for these bus kids. That's why he's in shape. Amen. You know why we don't like to exercise? We don't like it. Because it just goes against our flesh. It goes against our nature. It goes against our body. And Paul said, this is not physical exercise, but it is exercise. Look at it. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a what? A conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Paul says, every day I'm exercising my conscience. Listen to me. How do I have a good conscience? You'll never have one if you don't exercise it. And you get a chance every day to exercise it with God and with other people. And you have relationships with other people and friendships and family relationships, and somewhere along the line you do something wrong towards someone else. And you do. We all do, and you do. The person that thinks they never do wrong toward anyone else is a person that is totally backslid. And then we get a chance. You know what we get a chance? We get the chance to exercise our conscience. The conscience says, you know, you shouldn't have talked that way to them. You shouldn't have had that testimony in front of them. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have wore that in front of them. You showed, you know, you had some anger issues there. And your conscience works on you through the Holy Spirit and says, you know what, you need to get that right. You have an opportunity there to exercise. You know what the exercise is? It's giving an answer back. Okay, yeah, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have had that spirit, that wasn't like Jesus. Ah, the dreaded words. I'm sorry. Probably somebody that can ever say sorry to anybody else is somebody that probably has a hard time saying it to God. How many times have we had to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry? You know what that's called? That's called exercise. And it may be an exercise from the pew to the altar. It may be an exercise to your prayer closet. It may be an exercise walking down the street and talking to God. But you are responding and answering God when He deals with you about something. Can I say something? The revivals that I was in when I was a boy that changed my life and put me in the ministry. You know what happened in those revivals? People started responding to the Spirit of God that was speaking to them in their conscience, and they were doing something about it. They were going to other people and getting things right. How do I have a good conscience? You've got to exercise it. We're not Catholics. We don't believe in a man-made confessional, but we do believe in a God confessional. We do believe in going to God and having a regular time. Do you have a regular time every day that you exercise your conscience? I said the other day, I was somewhere preaching. I said, I don't even know you people. But I was saying, if you don't know anything to confess to God, come to me and I'll give you a list and I don't even know who you are. Amen. Because I know the sins of Americans. It's not hard to figure it out. Here's a list for you to confess. You can work on it every day. Some of them, you need to confess every single day that you breathe. Exercise it. Well, I got up this morning. Well, if I'm breathing, that means I've got a pride issue. I need to go talk to God about it. I've never met an American that didn't have a pride issue. And I is one. Amen. Do you constantly, continually, as Paul said, always are you exercising your conscience, answering back to God, yes, Lord, I agree with you. I'm coming to the light. The Bible says, listen, he that comes to the, people don't come to the light because they love their deeds that are evil. They love the darkness. But if you love the light, you come to the light. You bring your sins out in the open. You bring your heart out in the open before God and say, yes, Lord, I'm responding to you. And if God is not speaking to your heart and dealing with your heart about sin issues in your life, it's because you don't have a good conscience. All of us have to exercise it. How's your exercise going? Look at, and if you don't, what will happen to you, you can go to Romans 9. What will happen to you is what we preached this morning. Your conscience will gradually get seared. And you don't feel anything anymore. You're just numb. You're numb to God. You're numb to people. You're numb to the Bible. You're numb to truth. You're numb to your own sin. And people aren't nearly as numb to the sins of others as they are their own sins. It takes exercise to have a good conscience. Amen. Wear the altar out. Wear the prayer closet out. Wear the confessional booth out. Make one in your house if you need to. And if your conscience is never bothering, go to God and say, God, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and see if there be some wicked way in me. Because I tell you what, I bet He could find one. Fourth thing, what do I need to do to have a good conscience? Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness. What's the next word? In the Holy Ghost. Now listen, the Holy Ghost works in the consciences of people. We saw this morning, He works on lost people. Even though they have a defiled conscience, they have an evil conscience. The Spirit of God will reprove them to let them know they need Christ. But you know what they don't have? They don't have the Holy Ghost in them. The Holy Ghost reproves them outwardly about their sin and about Jesus Christ. But see, if you're saved, you have a step further to help you have a good conscience. You've got the Holy Ghost in you. You know what Paul says? Paul says, my conscience bears witness in the Holy Ghost. What's the fourth ingredient to have a good conscience? You have got to be filled with the Holy Ghost to have a good conscience. Because unless the fullness of the Holy Ghost is controlling your life, your conscience may do one of two things. We've been majoring on the fact of people not feeling bad about sin. And you won't if you're not filled with the Spirit of God. But listen, there may be the other side of the coin. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, your conscience may condemn you in something you're not guilty about. You may be burdened about being guilty about something that the Holy Ghost isn't in 10 miles of. Some people's consciences accuse them and they're not guilty. I'll show it to you. Go to Romans 14. Get Romans 14. I'll tell you what, before you get there, go to, get 1 Corinthians 8. Here's some people in the Bible. They think something is wrong that's not even wrong. 1 Corinthians 8. Well, that probably doesn't happen too much today. But look up here. Did you know that you might think something is wrong that's not even wrong? Now, I know I've been preaching the other way because that's the society we live in. But your conscience may be condemning you in something that's not even bad. See, how do I know the difference? If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you won't. Because your conscience has to bear witness in the Holy Ghost for you to have a good conscience. Your conscience got to agree with the Holy Ghost. How do I know? Well, let's just read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's a good verse, verse 2. I always like to read. It's got nothing to do with the text, really, but, well, it does. But if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Well, I just know that's wrong. Well, maybe it's not. And that's the context of what I'm about to read. Well, I know this is right. Well, maybe it's not. Keep reading. Verse 4. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered and sacrificed unto idols. Watch this now. We know that an idol is nothing in the world. And that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some, look at the Bible, with conscience of the idol unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. And their conscience being what? Some people have a weak conscience. What is a weak conscience? A weak conscience is your conscience condemning you in something that is not necessary. It's hyperactive. It's not the Holy Ghost working on you. It's your warped conscience. Verse 8. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Paul says, it don't matter what you eat. And here's a guy, he ate something that those heathens offered down there at the temple to an idol, and they came back and it was a good piece of meat, so he ate it, but he found out, man, they offered this to an idol, and he just couldn't live with himself. He thought he committed the unpardonable sin. He's going to go to hell. I ate a piece of meat offered to an idol. And Paul says, so? It is nothing. There's one God. There's nothing. That's just a statue. Yeah. Oh, man, I thought. Yeah. Well, no matter what. Keep reading. Now, here walks somebody here. Well, these people. And I tell you what, these passages we're reading tonight are so misapplied and misunderstood. You say, and how do we get our handle on it? You can't unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Your conscience will not know whether to condemn you, to excuse you, or accuse you. There is no easy answer to the Christian life except being filled with the Holy Ghost. You will never know what's right or wrong without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that's why people have no clue of what's right and what's wrong. They think right and wrong, they'll figure it out, or their parents told them, or they got it from the church, or they read it in a book. Well, you better have a personal relationship with God, because there can be a host of things that nobody says is wrong, and the Spirit of God touches your conscience and says, no, no. And there may be something that you're condemning yourself over, and the Spirit of God is not in 10 miles of it. Verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. He talks about a weak conscience. He's talking about wounding other people's consciences. And Paul says, listen, I'm careful to live my life in such a way that I'm void of offense toward God and toward men. And I don't want to hurt anybody's conscience. I don't want my testimony to hurt their life. So I'm not going to walk around with my head in the air and say these stupid people can't eat meat offered to idols. He said, I'm going to be careful about it. Look at chapter 10. I'm going to get to Romans in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, now the shambles is a place they're selling this meat that's being offered to idols. He said, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. He said, go buy your meat. Don't ask, was this offered to us? He said, no, who cares? Just buy it and go home and eat and have a good time. Have a barbecue. You know, I know brethren that think it's a sin to eat catfish. You know, let me say this about that. And I got to be careful what I say because, some, you know, I may hit something else. It's a little sensitive. But if you've got stronger convictions than me, I appreciate it. Praise the Lord. But when you think that you're more godly because of your convictions, then we got a problem. Because you know what? Some people have convictions that God doesn't have. You say, how do you know that? You're reading one right here. It is wrong to eat something offered to an idol. Paul says, no, it is not. But if it's going to bother you, I'm more interested in helping you than hurting you, and I'm not going to live that way in front of you. Paul's life, well, just keep reading it. He says in verse 27, here's a conviction that I don't even, here's a verse in the Bible that I can't even believe. I got a bigger conviction than what Paul said right here. If you asked me, if you came up here as your pastor and said, preacher, and you gave me this scenario, I'd say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And God says it's okay. Hey, it's okay to admit that you might have some convictions that God doesn't have. It's all right. But I don't have those convictions so I can think I'm more spiritual than anybody else. I have those convictions because I'm trying to be smart. Some things may not be wrong, but I've watched them hurt so many other people. I don't want them to hurt me or my family. Do you understand what I just said? Let me just read for you. Verse 27. If any of them that believe not. Now, that's people that are unsaved, right? Can I tell you something? It is a good idea to witness to people that are unsaved, but it's probably not a really good idea for you to buddy-buddy up with people that aren't saved. That's just what I think. But the Holy Ghost just wrote something different than what I think. Might as well be honest with you about it. And then I'll let you be honest about yours later. Hey, man, I know people that believe it's wrong to wear wire-rimmed glasses and cowboy boots. Right? It's serious, man. Right. There are people that believe denim is a sin against God. Right. I mean, that. Honestly, that crowd's getting a lot shorter today. But it's okay. You need some convictions because the devil's after you. And you've got to be smart. And some things that aren't wrong for somebody else may be wrong for you. I had a pastor when I was a little boy. He quit playing church softball. My mom and dad could. Lamar Engle, he quit playing. I got saved under his ministry, little boy. He quit playing church softball. Church softball was a sin in his life. You know why it was? Because he'd lose his temper every time he played. Now, is there something wrong with playing softball? It was for him. And he was sensitive enough to the Holy Ghost in his conscience to quit it. Instead of puffing up like a toad frog and saying, well, there ain't nothing wrong with this. There may be something wrong with Little League. There may be something wrong with your job. Anything the Spirit of God deals with your conscience about is something you need to deal with to have a good conscience. You say, how do I know? You can't unless your life is surrendered to the Spirit of God. You will never think like Jesus. You've got to have the mind of Christ. And if we'll emphasize that and be like Jesus, be filled with the Spirit, then the Spirit will lead us into these things and deal with our consciences about them. But you don't tell me that your convictions are right or wrong if you don't know what love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, or temperance. If that is not in your life, you don't have a clue what your conviction should be. Amen. We've come a long way to where we conform to this right here, and then I'm right with God. That don't work, people. You conform to the image of Christ, and let Christ fill your heart. And He may tell you to get rid of something that makes no sense to anybody else. And He may tell you, don't worry about that. Well, I didn't keep reading verse 27. I don't like to read it. If any of them, don't even matter who they are, don't matter how wicked they are. Look at the Bible. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast. A feast. You know what goes on at a feast? This is a feast of unbelievers. What do unbelievers do at feasts? They don't pray. I doubt if God's being blessed and honored there very much. Right? If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Whew. Said all those lost people ask you to go over there to that feast? If you want to go, just go ahead. Whatever they put before you, eat. By the way, that's a good little phrase for our kids. I used to have missionaries come up to Virginia, and they wouldn't even let their children drink the water. I got a problem with all that. The Bible says if you went to a feast for lost people and they put food in front of you, don't even ask any questions about it. Is that in the Bible or did I make that up? People are so picky. And they are so, I got to sterilize everything. You don't live in a sterilized world. You live in a sinful world. And you've got to live in it. And if you are going to be God's servant, Jesus Christ ate with sinners. And He didn't complain about what they put before Him. He didn't care about what they put before Him. He cared about their soul. He said, don't even ask a question. Don't say, where'd this meat come from? He said, don't even ask that. Just bless it and thank God for it and eat it. Right? And I'm glad He didn't say drink. Notice what He didn't say, right? He didn't say if they put before you something to drink, don't ask questions. He didn't say that, did He? We're in a little different ground there. What's in that cup? I can ask questions about that. Yeah. Amen. Amen. This is surreal. I would never recommend anybody do that. The Holy Ghost says, go ahead. Now, you know what? People take that and they say, well, see, I can do whatever I want to do. You're crazy. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll do what's right. Verse 28, but if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not. Now, if he tries to trip up your testimony and say, hey, we sacrificed this to idols. What do you think about that? He said, don't touch it then. Well, wait a minute, you just told me it wasn't wrong to eat meat sacrificed to idols. Now you tell me not to ask a question. But then when they put it before me, if they say, hey, this was sacrificed to an idol, what do you think of that? Then he said, don't eat it. Why? Look at it. Look at it. He says, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. He says, you need to be careful about your testimony, and you don't want to hurt somebody else's conscience, and you don't want the testimony to get out that you were down there at the unbeliever's feast, and you were eating meat offered to idols. Your testimony ought to be more important to you than that. There ought to be things you ought not do, not because they're wrong, because you're interested in the testimony of God. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It is not the unpardonable sin to mow your grass on Sunday. I would never mow my grass on Sunday. But not because I think it's wrong. Because I don't want anybody to see me mowing my grass on Sunday and ruin my testimony. I'm not going to drive around my car doing this. There is nothing wrong when we're doing that. That is not a sin. But I care enough about my testimony. You know, there's music I don't listen to, maybe because it's not so wrong, but I'm more interested in my testimony. Places I don't go, things I don't do. It has nothing to do with my conscience. It has to do with somebody else's. I probably have a beard about like this. Amen. No, not now, because it all looks like man from Snowy River or something. It's all. No, I'm just telling you, when your conscience is not good, sometimes you feel bad about stuff that's it's not wrong. And the Spirit of God is the only one that can help you with that. Look at Romans 14 real quickly. I got to finish this up. Romans 14, the Bible says, verse 1, there's more to having a good conscience than just confessing everything you feel bad about. That's what I'm trying to say. You've got to have a good relationship with the Spirit of God to develop a right conscience. Romans 14, verse 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. Quit putting a question mark beside everybody's life. Amen. Verse 2. Boy, I don't like what I'm reading right now. Can I tell you something? I got a problem with vegetarians. I've pastored them. There's just something a little strange about something. And somebody here is probably vegetarian. And I don't even know if that's true. Man, I really messed up with you, didn't I? But man, I pastored one, thought it was wrong to kill animals, wrong to eat animals. And you know what? I got a Bible verse to say that they're wrong. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. I can eat any animals I want to eat. I can go kill a dog and eat it and it's okay. How's that? Is that a creature? He said, kill a dog and eat it. That's the unpardonable. And the cat, too. They eat them in the Philippines all the time. And if the poor Indian people would kill the cows, maybe half of them wouldn't starve to death. I just got a little pet peeve with that, okay? But you know what? God is bigger than my pet peeves. And your Christianity's got to be bigger, and your conscience has got to be more sensitive, and got to be better than just your pet peeves. Watch this now. Verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things. Yeah, that's where I'm at right there. I'm that one right there. That's my class. Now there's some things I don't want to eat, but I can. Another, who is weak, he is what? Herbs. Now, before you, I believe in the herbs, I just believe in the meat more. Now look at this verse. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Who his own master he standeth or falleth. You know what God's trying to say? Mind your own business. Quit trying to get involved in everybody's life. Quit trying to force the way you think. You know everybody doesn't think like you, and thank God for that. Everybody doesn't think like me, and thank God for that. And it's okay. Don't let it bend you out of shape. You do what you're supposed to do before your master, and you pray for them that they're supposed to do what they're supposed to do before their master. For one is your master, even Christ. Verse 5. Well, here's another. We go from the vegetarians to the people that believe in the holidays. Hey, I'm talking about your conscience, guys. Verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Well, which is right? Let every man be fully persuaded in his own what? Well, you just deal with that in your own mind and heart and your conscience before the Lord. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll come out on the right side. Or you say, well, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says he is, how can we be different? Maybe you're wrong. Verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard. In other words, if your heart is right before God, he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. And then he went down, he said, verse 19, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. You need to worry more about how you can help your brother instead of all the things you want to do. For 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. He said, look, if you don't think that's wrong, when you're by yourself, do whatever you want to do. But he says, keep this in mind. You know what's in this text? One day you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And if you can, if it'll square with that, then help yourself. Now you better watch how you live in front of other brethren. And if you think this is wrong and this is okay, well, just remember, you're going to meet that at the judgment. You'll have to answer to the Lord for that. But when you're before God, help yourself. And by the way, somebody says, well, according to the Bible, then I just have to live the way I want to live before the Lord. And well, he's talking about the personal decisions you make in your life. He's not talking about overruling the authorities that God set up. God set up government. You know what? You don't get to do anything you want to do with the government. Now, when you're in your house, but guess what? God put the authority in a home. It's called the husband. So, well, and God puts parents in the home, right? That's the authority. You say, well, do I have to live by their convictions? Yes. You say, what if their convictions are wrong? You'll see it at the judgment. And the same thing goes for church. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong. Well, if the pastor says that we need to have the church this way, well, then that's the way we need to have it. Just like dress standards. Right? Nobody's going to come to your house and force their convictions on you. But when you teach in Bible school, amen, when you get on this platform, and when you represent the church, you got to abide by somebody else's standards. Is that not fair? Because everybody has a different standard, and we don't want somebody walking up here and singing in a bathing suit. Amen. Well, I just don't see anything wrong. Fine. Don't offend us who have a different conviction. And abide by whatever the rule is. Well, I just don't think it's wrong. Well, okay. But just remember, there is a judgment seat. Don't do anything that'll hinder another brother or sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. How is what I'm doing going to influence somebody else? How is it going to affect my testimony? How is this going to stand up in the judgment seat of Christ? And look. He says in verse 5, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I got one more verse 3 here. Verse 23. And he that doubteth, I'm still in Romans 14. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The Bible says that if in your conscience, if you cannot do this by faith, don't do it. If you can't bow your head and say, God bless this activity, don't do it. If it is doubtful, it is dirty, Bob Jones Sr. said. If there is a doubt in your mind, ladies, before you put that on, don't put it on. If there's a doubt in your mind before you watch that, don't watch it. If there's a doubt in your mind before you go there or involve yourself in whatever, don't do it. You say, well, what if it's meat offered to idol? Still don't do it. Because if you can't do something by faith, it's sin. And I tell you what, a lot of things we do in our lives has nothing to do with faith. We don't pray about it. We don't think about it. We just do what we do. And God says, if you want a good conscience, you need to submit your heart and life to the Spirit of God, and you need to start making the decisions in your life based upon what He wants and be sensitive and answer back to Him and follow the path He wants for your life. And church, I'm telling you what, that's the life that you want. A life with a good conscience and the Holy Ghost in you bearing witness with your spirit and with your conscience. And so you're pure and clean. And everything is right between you and God. There are some people that think things aren't right between them and God, and it's because their conscience is warped. Some people's hearts condemn them, and it's not even God condemning them. 1 John says, God's greater than your heart. And if you're not filled with the Spirit, your heart won't know what to say to you. Why do we live in a day where nobody knows what's right, nobody knows what's wrong? Because they're not in touch with Jesus. They're not filled with the Spirit. And they don't know in their conscience what to do. So why don't you bring your conscience and your heart and your life and say, fill me now, Lord. And control me now, so I will believe right, so I'll live right, so I'll think right, so I can be a picture of Christ to this world. That's Christianity. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you for your kind attention. Benjamin, would you come to the piano and play Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart?